give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel. Father, we thank you and praise you this morning for this day you've given us and for the privilege of assembling in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you'd bless this congregation this morning with your presence and your word. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint us to speak this morning. Help us to be a blessing to your people. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on hope springing from the manger. I saw a message on a church sign one day that said, 2,000 years ago, the baby in Bethlehem was the reason for the season. Is he now? That was what was on the sign. And the truth is that 2,000 years ago, the celebration of the birth of Jesus was confined primarily to heaven. Not many people on earth knew about it. Just a very few. And it would be that way when Jesus rose again from the dead. The world would not see him. Only a few select people would even know about his resurrection. Personally, know about his resurrection. And so just as his birth was obscure, or his resurrection, so was his birth obscure. Not many people knew about his coming. The angels knew it, and they proclaimed his birth to the shepherds. But the earth knew little of his coming. The few that did know about it, and who observed this baby in his infancy, were inspired by what they saw in this child. Hope gripped the hearts of those who knew about the birth of this baby. That was a new fire kindled in their hearts, a new energy that came to them from knowing about this baby, the appearance of this baby. There were lofty thoughts that dominated the minds of those people who were given the privilege of seeing and knowing about this Christ child. Their ideas, their thoughts were lifted high above this earth and above the realities that they saw. And there was a vision given to them of this Christ child and what he came to do in this world. There is a mystery of the manger. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is the great mystery of the manger, that God was manifest in the flesh. The Bible tells us in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, the Bible tells us that the Word was made flesh. St. Augustine of the 4th century was a brilliant man, student, teacher, professor, and he was involved in the philosophies of his day, studying the philosophies of his day, the heathen philosophies. When he got saved, he said, I can find parallels to everything in Christianity in the heathen philosophies, except for one thing. The Word was made flesh. God dwelt among us. My, what a mystery that God dwelt among us. Tennyson wrote words that the great poet befitting the Savior's birth. He said, out of the deep, my child, out of the deep, from that great deep before our world begins, whereon the Spirit of God moves as he will. Out of the deep, my child, out of the deep, from that true world within the world we see, whereof our world is but the bounding shore, out of the deep thou comest, darling boy. And indeed, Jesus came out of the heavens into this earth. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. Jesus was God the Son. We can go to the shepherds, to that manger, gaze on that baby in that manger. Just journey with me there for just a moment. In your mind, the shepherds who heard the announcement of the angels and made haste and went to Bethlehem and found that baby in the manger. And they gazed upon this cooing, rosy-cheeked baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. And no doubt they pondered that baby, looking upon that child that the angels had told them about. And now then they ponder that child that they're looking on. There's a mystery in this child. This child is like no other that's ever been born. And they gaze upon the Son of God. Something surely is different about this child. You know, there was something about Moses that made his mother and father aware that this was a special child. And there's something about this baby, something about this child in the manger that lets you know there's something special about this child. It may have been his eyes. It may have been that you could see in his eyes something of a mystery, of concealed glory, of a That even while the baby is laughing and cooing, that there's a deep sorrow in his eyes. Somehow or another, they could see that this was a distinctive child. Contemplated that child, gazed upon that child, wondered at that child. A child like no other. A child that was the union of God and man in one person. A child that came from infinity and was compressed into a span, a baby's span. This was the mystery of the manger. But there was a message in that manger. It was a message of divine love. This child had come from privilege. This child had come from a throne. This child had come from heaven. This child had come from being worshipped in heaven. This child had come from being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the heavens to being a baby in Bethlehem. There was a message in this manger. Why was this child here? Why did this child come from heaven? Why was he born in Bethlehem? The message of God in that manger was a message of divine love. Nothing else could account for this baby being in that manger but divine love. That's what caused him to step off of his throne in heaven. That's what caused him to empty himself of the privileges of the Godhead. That's what caused him to agree to become a baby in Bethlehem. It was divine love that brought him to that manger. And he had come there to that manger to be a divine sacrifice. He came to die. Not just an ordinary death. Every man dies. Jesus didn't come just to die an ordinary death. He came to die a sacrificial death. He came to be a sacrifice. John the Baptist would say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." This child would be a sacrifice that would settle the sin problem in the human race. He came to be a sacrifice. He was a demonstration of the divine love of God. That was the message of the manger. But there's a mission in that manger. He came that you and I, he came and lived among us so that you and I could live. Could know what it was to really live. to have abundant life, to have life eternal. Zacharias, after the Lord loosed his tongue, he began to prophesy. He began to express hope that because of this child that was to be born, his son would be the forerunner of the Redeemer. And he began to express his hope as a result of this Savior that was coming. And he said in verse 74, that he granted unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. The birth of this baby, according to Zechariah's prophecy, was a national hope. He would save us from our enemies. Israel had a national hope in Messiah. They believed that Messiah was going to reestablish the kingdom of Israel in its glory and power. And so when Jesus was born, he expressed the national hope of the people of Israel. This baby is going to deliver us from our enemies. He is going to reestablish the kingdom of Israel. And indeed he is, but not immediately. They didn't understand it wasn't going to happen immediately. The disciples even thought Jesus would do that. And he is going to do that. He is going to be given the throne of his father David, of the increase of his government, the end of his government. There shall be no end of his government. He's going to reign forever and ever upon the throne of David. And indeed, this child was the hope of Israel. But he also expressed a spiritual hope that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. There was a spiritual hope that this man expressed concerning this child. He will transform our lives. He will deliver us from our sins. He will establish us in righteousness and holiness all the days of our life. He's going to give us deliverance from the power of sin. He is going to set us free from our bondage. This child is our spiritual hope. And not only is he our spiritual hope, but the angels indicated he's a universal hope. They sang on earth there's peace and goodwill toward all men. This is a good tidings that's coming to all men. It's not just a Jewish hope. It's not just a spiritual hope. It's a universal hope that Jesus Christ has come to bless the world. Hallelujah. This is what the world had been expecting. This is what the Lord had been predicting. He said to Abraham, "In your seed shall all nations of the world be blessed." This seed of Abraham, hallelujah, this seed of the woman, this seed of Abraham, this seed of David was Jesus Christ. He blessed the whole world. So it's a universal hope. Simeon said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Anna spoke about him to all of them that looked for redemption in Israel. This child would fulfill the hopes of those that looked for redemption in Israel. He had come to pay a redemptive price for the souls of men, to buy us out of the slave market of sin and set us free. This child brought hope. Brought hope into a hopeless world. He brought hope into a world full of sin and darkness. But just as a baby, he sparks hope in the hearts of the people who see him. I love some of these Christmas hymns. They're very difficult to sing and play, some of them are. But they have such a wonderful message. "Oh, little town of Bethlehem" is one of my favorites. And it says, "Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. This child would change the course of human history. Time would be spoken of as before Christ and after Christ. He would divide time, B.C. and A.D. B.C. before Christ, A.D. in the year of our Lord. He was here to usher in peace and righteousness. He was here to replace darkness with light. It was said about them that sat in darkness, they have seen a great light. Praise God. He was here to give joy for sadness. He was here to give beauty for ashes. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He was here to destroy the works of the devil. He was here to bring hope to a dying world. He was here to bring joy to the sad hearts of defeated people. Jesus Christ had come to bring hope into this world. And because Jesus was born, we can have hope this morning. No matter what our circumstances are, we can have hope this morning because Jesus was born. In spite of the fact that Jesus has been here, that this planet has never been the same since that day that God visited us in Jesus, was born in Bethlehem, this planet has never been the same since. But in spite of the fact that Jesus has been here, that God has lived among us, we look around us, we still have sin and sorrow, darkness and death. Troubled hearts sit in this sanctuary this very day, facing seemingly insurmountable problems in your lives. Troubled homes, homes full of strife, people depressed, in despair, despondent. Strife between husbands and wives, parents and children. And it seems like that Jesus failed to bring the peace that was promised. And peace seems to elude even the society of the saints. So there's strife among the people of God, within the family of God. And when you look beyond the bounds of the family of God, there are millions of babies murdered every year in this country. Pornography is degrading the lives of men and women and children. And divorce is destroying multitudes of families in our own country. And drugs are controlling the lives of parents and children. And the hospitals are running over with the sick of body and the sick of mind. And it's due to sin. It's due to the works of the devil. War, famine, disease stalks the nations of this world. And all of that in spite of the fact that God has been here on this planet. That Jesus has visited us on this planet. Is there, here we are 2,000 years later and we're facing all of these things. Is there any hope for us? I'll tell you something. We need to go back to Bethlehem in our mind and in our heart. Gaze on that baby in that manger. Stay there a while. Contemplate that child. Understand who he is, why he came, and what he's doing. I'm telling you, when you look on him long enough, there'll be hope birthed in your heart in spite of the circumstances of your life. We understand his mission is not completed. Now, he's already put in place everything that's needed to complete it. The cross where Jesus died. The victory that he won over hell and death and the grave. All of the things that went into the cross of Calvary, that was involved in the cross of Calvary. All of those things are still working out over time. And the world don't know it. But Jesus is still at work. And he's going to complete the mission that he started when he came as a babe in Bethlehem. There will be a day, hear me now, there will be a day in the near future that righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. And that righteousness will run down like a mighty river. Hallelujah. There will be a day that the Prince of Peace will establish peace all over this world. And nations will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and nations will not learn war anymore. There will be a day when the people of God will rule and reign with Jesus right here on this earth. And the cross of Calvary guarantees that things are not going to remain like they are today. That Jesus is going to reign, and that Satan will be defeated in the end, because he came to destroy the works of the devil. The story hasn't been told yet. The end of the story hasn't been told yet. We're waiting on the end of this thing. Jesus is coming back. For all those that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus is going to return. Brother, if we could talk to shepherds. My, Thursday night, we were in service at Glen Ridge with Brother Jeff and them. And Brother Jeff preached a Christmas message there. Something he said touched my heart. Brother Jeff, I'll use it if you don't mind this morning. But he made mention of the fact that the shepherds that saw Jesus that day. It was something. They heard the angels. They saw Jesus. They may never have seen him again. There's one thing about it. They'd never forget that night. They never forget that night when angels sang in the heavens and the glory of God filled the skies. And they heard the voice of angels speaking the good news of the birth of Jesus. And they'd never forget that trip down to Bethlehem from the hillsides. They'd never forget that child full of mystery in a manger. And when their children got old enough to understand, they'd tell them about that day, that night. Oh my, you should have heard, children, the angels singing in the heavens. You should have heard that angelic choir. You should have seen what we saw that night. Grandchildren come along, and granddaddy says, grandchildren, I got something I want to tell you. I saw him for myself. I heard the angels. I saw that child, the Son of God. Brother, I didn't get to go to Bethlehem. I mean, I've been there, but I didn't get to go at that time and see him. But I've seen him. By the eye of faith, I've seen him. Praise God. Oh, I want to tell you, he's wonderful. Ah, he's wonderful. He's great. He's done a mighty work in my life and in the lives of people right here.
but he ain't through. He's still working. He's still establishing his reign in hearts and lives. He's still destroying the works of the devil. I stood over a man this week that alcohol has ruined him, and drugs. And I told him, I said, my daddy was hooked on alcohol too. And I told him how Jesus set him free. Instantly set him free. Went back to the man that he bought his liquor and beer from and paid him off. And said, look, God saved me. And I won't be back. And he never went back. Never went back. No matter how bad life got, he never went back. No matter how many problems came, he never went back. It was over with because Jesus made the difference. Brother, I'm telling you, there's hope. Hope for children. Hope for husbands and wives. Hope for our loved ones that don't know Christ. There's hope. Because there's a mystery about that baby. That was God in the flesh come to save us. The angel said to Joseph, go ahead and take Mary as your wife. That child is the product of the power of the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, it's wonderful. This is good news. I'm telling you, this is good news. Jesus has come to give us hope. We wouldn't have had any if he had not been born in Bethlehem. But thank God we got hope this morning. That's not an ordinary child. That's not an ordinary baby. That is God with us. Woo, hallelujah. I said, that's Emmanuel. That is God with us. It's God with us in our valleys. It's God with us in our trials. It's God with us in our problems. This is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. That's why we got hope this morning. Oh my, in every circumstance of life, brother, there's hope burning in the heart of that child of God that believes in that baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. The Bible says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that's in you. Why do you have that hope? Why is it that there's a quiet confidence in every circumstance of life? Why is it that there's an undisturbed joy in your heart, even when you are burdened? What is the reason of the hope that's in you? Well, 2,000 years ago, a baby was born. They called him Jesus. And he came to save us from our sins. And he brought hope, light in the darkness. That's why we have hope. While Sister Judy sings this morning, we're going to stand. If you're here and you have a need, Jesus will help you. He's God with us. He's God with us in our valleys, and God with us in our troubles, and God with us in our problems. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us.